Good morning. Welcome if you're visiting here today, and I hope if you are, you enjoy your time with us. Please join us in the hall after the service, where there will be a tea, coffee, and a light lunch for sale. We will meet for prayers in the church on Tuesday and Thursday at 9:15 a.m. This week, please hold in your prayers the folks in the community and the staff and patients in Wishaw, Hare Myers and Monklands hospitals. Coffee morning every Tuesday, 10 to 11:30 here at St Ninian's. The next Guild Craft Night is on Monday, 24th February at 7:30 p.m. Next Guild Craft Night is cancelled for Monday the 24th. Hope Cafe 2 is on Thursday, 27th February at 7 p.m. The Night Church is on Sunday, 1st March, 7:30 to 9 p.m. Come along and stay for as little or as long as you like. The Sunday School are again collecting bags of clothes, and if you have any, please bring them by Wednesday, the 4th of March. World Day of Prayer, Friday, 6th of March, here in St Ninian's. The format will be the same as last year, so come for 11s. Tickets now on sale, £2 each. The Hamilton Presbytery invites you to XYZ, a free intergenerational conference for everyone from primary 7 upwards, Saturday 14th March, 10 o'clock to 4 p.m. at Motherwell South Parish Church. The keynote speaker is the Very Reverend Susan Brown, and workshops include mental health, climate change, places and spaces, worship and poverty. It would be great to have a group of people from St Ninian's attending this important day about the future of the church. This year's annual Male Voice Choir concert will take place on Thursday 12th March and Friday 13th March, 7:30 p.m. in the Paterson UF Church. Tickets are £7 and are now available from the choir members here within the congregation. The Link magazine, the spring issue, will be available for distribution next Sunday, 1st of March, and Margaret Murray will be at the church door on Sunday, 15th March, to collect any contributions which are received. The Mission, Education and Discipleship Committee are very excited to announce that Messy Church will be starting here in St Ninian's. Wait for it. The Messy Church is a form of church for children and adults. It's not something for a Sunday morning. And it involves creativity, celebration and hospitality. However, we need volunteers to make this happen. There'll be a meeting on Thursday the 5th of March at 6:45, 6:45 in the large hall, where Jane Hall from Kirkmuir Hill Parish Church will share with us how they do Messy Church in Kirkmuir Hill. Please come along and see what it's all about. If you have any questions or you would like to put your name down to help with this, please speak either to Yvonne or to Stuart. And finally, if you know of anyone who is ill or in hospital or celebrating a happy occasion, please let Anne Thompson or Margaret Patrick know, and we'll send flowers or pay a visit. Thank you.
Good morning. If you hear any beeping, it's just the road outside. It's nothing to be alarmed about, honest. There's a mystery at the heart of things. And it's alive and it sings its song into the plain and moribund world. It's born of a wonder which only increases. For in exploring, the wonder grows. In understanding, the puzzle is revealed. The more we dive into the riddle, we find yet a greater enigma. So come, let's wander into the mystery of God. We join and sing. Our hymn is 449, Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Rejoice, the Lord is King.
join in prayer. Almighty God, our loving parent, we come before you with thanks in our hearts for your grace and love, for your signs and symbols, for guiding us towards your Son and a life lived in service of you and each other. We come as broken and doubtful, searching disciples, yearning to know you and to know each other better. We come not as fully formed, perfect specimens. Instead, we bring our individuality, our questions, our loves, our hopes, our desires, alongside our fears and our doubts. We give thanks for the knowledge that in our time of fear or doubt, you reach out to us, just as Jesus comforted Peter, James and John. When we have fears in our personal lives, we know that you're there and you ease our anxiety. When we think about the future of our church communities, we know that Jesus' life and death and resurrection will be our guiding light, even in the darkest days for your church. So, ever-loving God, we acknowledge our failings, our inability to always do what you've told us. We ask for your guidance and your support, your care and your compassion. We give thanks for the surety that even though we might not always succeed, your love is eternal and unconditional. We will always remain in your care. So we're pleased to be able to join in the words that you taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. This morning, Cameron's going to read for us from Exodus and then from the Gospel of Matthew.
Today's first reading is from Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, Come up to the mountain to me, and while you are here, I will give you two stone tablets which contain all the laws that I have written for the instruction of the people. Moses and his helper Joshua got ready, and Moses began to go up the holy mountain. Moses said to the leaders, Wait here in the camp for us until we come back. Aaron and Hur are here with you, and so whoever has a dispute to settle can go to them. Moses went up Mount Sinai, and a cloud covered it. The dazzling light of the Lord's presence came down on the mountain. To the Israelites, the light looked like a fire burning atop of the mountain. The cloud covered the mountain for 6 days. And on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from the cloud. Moses went on up the mountain onto the cloud. There he stayed for 40 days and nights. Today's second reading is from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and the brothers James and John and led them up to a high mountain where they were alone. As they looked on, a change came over Jesus. His face was shining like the sun, and his clothes were dazzling white. Then the three disciples saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So Peter spoke up and said to Jesus, Lord, how good is it that we are here? If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was talking, a shining cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my own dear Son, with whom I am pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard the voice, they were so terrified that they threw themselves face downwards on the ground. Jesus came to them and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. So they looked up and saw no one was there but Jesus. As they came down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Don't tell anybody about this vision until you have seen that the Son of Man has been raised from the dead.
Thanks, Cameron. You can do that every week. Hello. Morning. What just happened? What just happened, Nathaniel? You walked in here, okay? What else has happened? That's it? You walked in? That's the only thing that's happened? Yeah? You heard the story. What was the story about? About God. What happened in the story? There was the disciples heard God. And where was God? Up in the cloud. You're good at remembering stuff. What else happened? How did we hear the story? Cameron what? He beamed it into your head. He told it. Cameron read the story for us, didn't he? So, do you think the people listening, because we record this every week, do you think the people listening will get a full picture of what happened? Do you think they'll be able to understand everything that happened? Yeah? Do you think they know what Cameron looks like? Why not? Nathaniel. Because you can only hear him. So we know what he sounds like. We don't know what he looks like, unless you know him, obviously. Then you'll be like, oh, that's Cameron. I know what Cameron looks like. But we know what he sounds like, don't we? And some of you don't look when the Bible readings are happening. Some people kind of like shut their eyes so that you can listen more clearly. So you didn't see him at all. You saw him going up and saw him going back down. Some of you don't look very much at all. This is a weird story, isn't it? About people going up a mountain and seeing Jesus change into something different, and Moses appears and Elijah appears. Now, what's weird about that? What's weird about that? They're dead. They've been dead for like 1,000 years. And they turn up. Are they dead? That's a good question. Because Moses and Elijah are the only two people in the Bible who don't die in the way that everybody else dies. Moses, do you know what happens to Moses? He just kind of disappears, and nobody really knows what happens to Moses. What about Elijah? His is quite spectacular. He goes up to heaven in a chariot of fire, which is pretty cool, isn't it? And they come back again and they meet with Jesus. And it's kind of weird. And at the end of this story, Jesus says to the disciples that were there, don't tell anybody until later. Why do you think he says that? Don't tell anybody until later, Cameron.
Because they're meant to be dead.
Moses and Elijah are meant to be dead. Do you think when you go back down, if you're one of the disciples and you say, guess what happened? So we went up this mountain and we met Elijah and Moses, and Jesus turned into something else, and then there was a big shiny cloud and God spoke to us. What do you think the other disciples would say? They're not going to believe them, are they? Because it's a really weird story. And yet the story gets weirder and weirder as it goes on, doesn't it? Because eventually Jesus comes back from the dead too. And they start to understand the story at the end of the story. So in the middle, the story doesn't make a lot of sense. That happens sometimes, doesn't it, when you're reading a book? You don't really know what's going to happen yet. You can kind of guess, but you don't always know what's going to happen. And so this is one of those stories that needs us to imagine. But we need it knowing the end, don't we? We know who Jesus is. We don't need God to say in this story, this is my son. But we do maybe need reminded the wee bit at the end of what God says. What does God say right at the end? This is my son. I'm well pleased with him. What have we to do? Listen to him. Which is good, because none of you knew that. That's excellent. Proper paying attention there. Listen to him. So all the things that Jesus teaches, we have to listen to. And listen doesn't just mean hear. It means what? It means do something, doesn't it? It means do something. It means try to obey all the things that Jesus tells us. So that's our story today. This weird story of Jesus going up a mountain and God appearing and Moses and Elijah. But the important bit, I think, is when God says, listen to him. That's their instructions, isn't it? Listen and try and do what Jesus tells us. We're going to sing again, aren't we, Harris? Be still for the presence of the Lord.
Thank you.
"This is my son. Listen to him. Get up and don't be afraid." Epiphany is a season of realization and revelation. It starts with the visit of the wise men. He realized that the new king announced by the star is a very different kind of king from the one that they were expecting. Next came the flight to Egypt, and our realization that Jesus was a refugee, forced to flee from a tyrannical ruler who would rather kill a village full of children than have anyone challenge his rule. Jesus wasn't what Herod was expecting. At Jesus' baptism, John the messenger comes face to face with the one he's been announcing to the people. And after his baptism, the sky opens and a voice from heaven says, "This is my son, with whom I'm pleased." And that's definitely not what John was expecting. And then over the past 3 weeks, we've spent time with Jesus on a mountain as he teaches his disciples in what's become known as the Sermon on the Mount. And during that teaching, Jesus reveals the true nature of the kingdom of God. He reveals his mission. And it's not at all what the people were expecting. So this unexpected Saviour, revealed by these moments where people saw who he really was. But before we look at Matthew's account of what becomes known as the transfiguration of Jesus, let's go back to our first reading, to Exodus, because this kind of thing has happened before. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me in the mountain and wait there, and I will give you tablets of stone with the law and the commandments which I've written for the people's instruction." We've been taken all the way back to the moment where the commandments are given, back to a foundational moment for the people of Israel, back to that moment there on the mountain where God appears to Moses and gives him the law. And Moses had taken his disciple, a man called Joshua, the man who would eventually lead the people across the Jordan into the Promised Land, and together they wait on the mountain. And for 6 days, the glory of God covered the mountain. And on the seventh day, God speaks, and Moses listens. He hears God, and he obeys his commands. And then Moses spent 40 days and nights on the mountain with God. And when he came down, his face was shining, and the people were so afraid of him, they made him cover his face with a veil. And one of the things we've discovered about Matthew's gospel is the idea that Jesus is the new Moses. It's hugely important to Matthew. At the start of Jesus' ministry, we see him back on the Jordan, at the edge of the wilderness, the very place where Joshua led the people into the Promised Land. At the start of his ministry, Jesus takes his followers and some of the people that he's healed up the mountain, and he teaches them, just as God taught Moses. The Sermon on the Mount explains the very commandments that Moses was given and brought down to the people. For Matthew, then, this moment where towards the end of the story we see Jesus take a few of his own disciples up the mountain is one of the most important points. The season of Epiphany ends today. The season of Lent starts next week. And this story of the Transfiguration is the bridge between those two times, where we discover exactly who Jesus is. We've already found out some of that through his teaching and his actions, but we end up on a mountain with Jesus shining, full of glory and light and wonder. And then begins the season of Lent, where we journey with Jesus towards a very different hill, with a very different outcome, and an ending full of darkness and despair. So as we stand on this first mountain with the disciples today, we, unlike the disciples, know the end of the story. We've heard it all before. We've been down this road before. And I wonder, does that take the shine off of the glory of Jesus? Perhaps we see it as something from a very long time ago, in a very different kind of time. Perhaps because we weren't the ones who were there, the ones that experienced it, we don't really understand. We certainly don't feel the same way as those three disciples did. And perhaps we don't even believe it happened. Perhaps it's just a story to tell us something. And of all the stories about Jesus, this is definitely one of the strangest. But to Matthew's audience, to the Jewish community, the Jewish believers, this story is absolutely essential. Jesus transformed meeting the two men who did not die, but instead were taken up to God. Moses, the giver of the law, and Elijah, the greatest of all the prophets. And the three of them together on the mountain is like a massive neon arrow pointing to Jesus, saying, "It's him. He's the one." And if you don't get all the signs, then you get God telling you that this is what's going on. "This is my son. Listen to him. Get up. And don't be afraid." It almost doesn't need the voice of God, does it? But for the second time in the gospel, God speaks. And he says exactly the same thing we heard at Jesus' baptism, with a little bit extra. "This is my son, the beloved. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Remember when we spoke about that voice at Jesus' baptism? It wasn't very clear who heard it, whether it was only Jesus who heard God speak or whether others heard it too. Well, this time the disciples definitely hear it, and they're terrified. And that makes me laugh just a little bit. Because there they are on the mountain, Jesus is transfigured, he's all shining and floating, and Moses and Elijah are there, and it's not until God speaks that they're terrified. Peter's response is to make some tents, make shelters, to be hospitable, to look after the guests. In Mark's version, Peter gets a row. "What a stupid thing to say," says Jesus. But not in Matthew's version. Making shelters is appropriate in the wilderness. It's hospitable. It's what you do when you have guests. Remember in Exodus, the people made a tabernacle, a tent where they met God. That's what Peter is suggesting. To build something that marks the moment. And to do that gives some kind of permanence to it, doesn't it? Permanence to something that's just a fleeting experience. I wonder, do we mark those moments, those places where we have encountered God? Perhaps we do it individually, but I'm not sure we do it together. Do we take time to look back at our story and recognize the times that God spoke to us? And to think about what that was like? Was it a one-time thing? Or was it a series of things? Was it a word here and there? An idea? The same thing that someone else thought, and two people get together and have a conversation and recognize the same idea in each other? How does it work? How does God communicate with us? And how do we know that it's God that's doing it? The disciples have seen enough weird stuff by now to know that this isn't just another thing. But it's not until God speaks that they think something scary is going on. "This is my son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus is the authoritative teacher of the law. We heard it in the Sermon on the Mount. Listening, though, is more than simply hearing what's said. It's about living out what's taught. And living that out leads us towards righteousness. And righteousness brings about the kingdom of heaven. In this moment on a mountain, Jesus' identity is confirmed. Any doubt is taken away, at least for Peter and James and John. And as we step out onto the road of Lent towards the cross, we now know exactly what they knew. That Jesus is the one, the Messiah, the Son of God. But the difference for us is that we know all of it. We can read this in the light of what happens next. They didn't have that luxury. They didn't know what was about to take place. They had to live through the darkness, keeping this epiphany to themselves, because it wouldn't really make sense until Easter Day, until Jesus is once again transformed and revealed to the world as the Son of God. The resurrection is always present with us, even in the darkest days of Lent, even as we stumble through Holy Week, because we have the benefit of hindsight. We know the whole story. And if you don't, go home and read the whole of Matthew's Gospel. We don't have to wait to find out what happens next. We don't have to wait to find out what God is about to do. This is my Son. Listen to him. Get up and don't be afraid. Get up. Get up and don't be afraid. Sorry, it was just God. Get up. Don't be scared. See, the thing is, when people met God, they died. That's why they're scared. It's not a normal thing. Moses is the only survivor. It's easier said than done when you've been confronted by something incredible, isn't it? Get up and don't be afraid. But when we encounter God, our fear should be taken away. The whole point of Jesus is to show us that God is with us. In the passage that we read from Exodus, the people who are left down the mountain are absolutely terrified, because it looks like cloud and fire on the mountain. And Moses spends 40 days there and walks out of it. Who is this guy? How could anybody survive that? It's not until God is presented to us in human skin that we can wrap our heads around just how much God loves us, that we can understand that there's nothing to fear. We are changed through our encounters with God. We're renewed and restored and forgiven. This is my Son, listen to him. Get up and don't be afraid. Matthew's Gospel is all about discipleship, an active life embodying the teachings of Jesus. This revelation on the mountain isn't a little epiphany. This is revelation on a grand scale. It foreshadows Easter. But what will it take for us to recognize the presence of God here and now? Some unexpected epiphanies? A still small voice, fire and cloud? Perhaps a resurrection? And then what will we do when we realize? What will we do when we're faced with God? What will we do when we hear those words, listen to him? Because this is my Son. Get up. Don't be afraid. It's so easy to be afraid. It's so easy to retreat and look inward and to live in fear and concern, to be nervous, to keep what we've got instead of looking out. But that's not what Jesus asks us to do, is it? Jesus asks us to live the commands, to live into righteousness, to live into the kingdom of God. Those words for the disciples are words for us today. This is my Son. Listen to him. Get up and don't be afraid. Amen. Let's join and sing. Our hymn is number 160. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. bring to God our offering. Merciful and giving God, we come before you in worship in the glory of your abundance, cloaked in your love and protection, attempting to grow in compassion and care for each other and for all your people. And so today we bring our gifts of talents and time and money. We offer these things freely and in generosity, in the hope that the mission and ministry of your church will continue to grow and flourish. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn is 125, 125, Lord of all being. join together in prayer. Ever-loving God, today we pray for your church, for the renewal and growth of communities and of faith. We rejoice in the knowledge that mission and growth come in many forms. Sometimes in increased numbers of people coming to worship in a community, or a deeper engagement from those already part of your church, or in the growth of new communities of faith, bound together in service and praise wherever they are. We pray with all those living in fear, those who are targeted because of their skin colour, their sexuality, their gender, their nationality, or any other reason that your children are attacked. We pray that they will know your love and care, and that your people will be their constant champions, offering everything we have to serve one another. We pray for all those who doubt, those who do not hear your voice, those who can't feel the hand of Jesus. And yet we all experience doubt and disbelief, questioning the place of you in our troubled world. So we ask that you send your Spirit to guide each and every one of us in those difficult times, that we might gain strength from your love. And we pray for our troubled world, a world and global community that often incites fear and hatred rather than security and charity. We ask that those with the power to do so will extend love and care, would follow Jesus' example, and offer the hand of fellowship to all, that they would know what is right and do what is right over what is easy. We pray that grace and love would be shown, the grace and love that Jesus embodied in his life and ministry, that these would be our constant example for all of us, for all people everywhere. In the silence, Lord, we bring our care and concerns. We present to you those whom we love, who need your compassion this day. Lord, give us strength and courage that when we hear you say, "This is my son," listen to him, that we might get up and not be afraid. We pray in Jesus' name and in the power of your Holy Spirit granted to each and every one of us. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, number 458, "At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow."
Thank you.
in peace. Go in wonder. Go in love. With the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with us this day and forevermore.